Thank you for the lift, Dennis. Good morning, church. Hey, praise God. Man, it's a beautiful day out there today, isn't it? Yeah, I love this stuff. Prayed about this a lot as far as the message this morning. And I believe in a changing world that we live in and the things that are going on right now within each and every person here and throughout the world, I believe it's time to understand what faith really is. I believe it's time to say, what is faith? And we banter faith around like, I have faith in my health. I have faith in my finances. I have faith in the government. I have all this other faith. But what does the Bible talk about when it comes to faith? What about those whose faith was accounted to them for righteousness? How did they survive the times that they lived in with all the uncertainty that was going on during that time? And that is similar to what we're going to look, the Lord's going to hopefully lead us today. But Pam said it so succinctly this morning in Proverbs, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways trust in the Lord and acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That requires faith. And the word faith can be just kind of a subjective word, if you would. But faith, I'm going to present to you, the sun has come up, and I'm not worried about the sun coming up tomorrow morning. Why? Because it has repeated that rise every morning for 76 years of my life, the sun has come up. I am not worried about the sun coming up tomorrow. Why? Because God set the pattern. He set the pattern and repeats it over and over and over again in his word, and that's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay. So I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one in the back. If you want to take it with you, you're more than welcome to take it with you. Highlight it, underline it. We're going to talk about those who had faith yet did not receive the promise. And we want to find out what is that promise that they did not receive. So we're going to go through chapter 11, and it's going to be kind of a Cliff Notes version of, if you would, of each and every individual that is listed in chapter 11. That is called, chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith. Verse 1, and I'm reading from my version here, which is King James. You may have a different version, but I believe you'll find it's pretty accurate. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? That word substance, by the way, in Esword, puts it succinctly in concretely essence or abstract assurance, confidence, confident. And it occurs, that word faith in this chapter occurs 24 times. Well, confidence the sun's coming up tomorrow. Confidence that what God has said is going to come to pass will come to pass. Confidence that he said he's going to take care of you through the trials and all the other issues, it's coming to pass. And we're going to see evidence of that in chapter 11. Verse 2. Actually, let's go back to verse 1 for a second here. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice it doesn't say feelings. Faith and feelings are at opposite ends of the spectrum. I don't feel God's got this under control. I don't feel that his plan is perfect. I don't feel that I'm saved sometimes. I don't feel God's presence. I don't feel, you know, that the Lord is ordering my footsteps as he promised. It doesn't have anything to do with our feelings. It has to do with the faithfulness of God. It has to do with his faithfulness and my trust in him that he's going to bring it to pass. So these things are not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. In other words, the ancients, the people that came before Christ, the ones that were looking forward to him, they didn't receive we'll get into that. They didn't receive the presence. They didn't receive the reward, if you would. They were looking forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God. so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And those of you who have a scientist type mentality or background or desire, you'll find that it's interesting that the worlds were framed and all of creation was created by the individual that you'll find in Colossians 1, verse 16, for by him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, all things maintained, all things are consist together. The creation itself is formed of atoms, which is 10 to the 78 power in the universe. And then, of course, then you've got 8 prophecies of Jesus Christ, which fulfills 10 with 157 zeros at it. So the Lord Jesus Christ is more real than the actual creation that we live in. Moving along, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaks. And what does that mean? Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. When we get into Genesis, you're going to find out that Adam passed on to his children, Cain and Abel, God's plan. And Cain offered from the ground. He'd offered up a meal offering, if you would, which is not, God doesn't turn the meal offering down, okay, because in Leviticus it talks about that. But Abel offered a more pleasing sacrifice, excellent sacrifice. And we'll read that in Genesis, and I'm not going to get into that real quick, but it's in Genesis 4, verse 3 and 5. It says, Abel went out and found the firstlings of the flock. That's the key, the firstlings. And these little words that you read in God's word, stop and take note of it, because the firstlings mean that he had to go out and search for the best. He had to offer the best. Cain offered something from the ground, as all the Bible says. So Abel's offering was more pleasing to God. And by faith, he offered it. Verse 5 is kind of unique. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him before his before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, in Matthew 3:17, God speaks. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay? Pleasing God. You can't please God unless you first understand who he is. And then verse 6 here, but without faith, it is impossible to please him that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's where we have difficulty. We understand that God exists. We understand through creation that all of this is here by design. It's not here by accident. In fact, one of the things I found out this past couple of weeks ago, that the universe is finite. Do you know what that means? That means it has a beginning and has an end. Okay, it's not infinite like science thought. It's finite. And that upsets a lot of scientists that are studying what's going on in the universe. But the ones that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. By Noah, verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There's where our faith lies. It's our God's righteousness and our belief and our faith in him. By faith, verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. You and I do not know what tomorrow brings. You and I do not know what God's plan is for us. We think we know what's going to happen. We may have a schedule. We may have a plan. But God's got the real plan. Okay? Things can change, and you folks all know this. Things can change in a nanosecond. Boom. And the Lord redirect our paths. Abraham went out willingly. He didn't know where he was going. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believing God, believing in his plan, believing and trusting in him, we are righteous in him. The Bible says our righteousness is in the Lord. Actually, God says, your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. By faith he sojourned, verse 9, in the land of promise, as in a stranger, counting dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What promise? What's the promise that he promised Abraham? He promised Abraham, I'm going to make a nation of you. He promised Abraham, you're going to live in a city built by God. That's the promise. And that's the promise that God has for you and I. We are going to live eternally with him in his city that he has created with righteousness. That's the promise that Abraham looked forward to. Verse 10, and he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is of God. And through faith, verse 11 to 12, through faith, Sarah herself, I don't know if you know the story about this for those who have just come to the Lord, but Sarah was old and she was unable to bear children. But God, through his blessing, through his plan, she had Isaac. She bore a child. And through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past the age. She judged him, who? Not Abraham. She judged him faithful who had promised. And that's what we need to anchor our hope and our faith in, is God's promise. He's promised. No, and he cannot, his word will not return unto him void. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so as many stars of the sky. In other words, they had a multitude, and as the sand of the sea, which by the seashore innumerable. And there's a song that says, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one and you are two. So anyway, that's kind of a cute song for kids in Sunday school. Verse 13, but guess what? These all died in faith, not having received the promises. What's the promise? The city of God, not built with hands. What's the promises? The seed that the entire word of God centers around five words. Okay, the seed of the woman, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the promised salvation of all mankind was born between from Abraham on down through history. That's the promise. They didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew he was coming. They knew what God had said. They trusted in God. They had that faith that the Lord said, I will not, my word will not return to me void. And they trusted in that. And that was accounted to them for righteousness. We, on the other hand, look back to the cross. And we trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross for me. And that's where my righteousness and your righteousness comes from. Not having received the promise. But they did see it afar off, and they were persuaded of them, verse 13 again, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In other words, a city not built with hands. And truly they had been mindful of that country from where they came out of. They might have an opportunity to return. When we come to the Lord, and Bill made a comment of this earlier, it's easier for us to look back at our old lives and say, you know what, I had no stress during my earlier years. We have the tendency to, the flesh has a tendency to lean back toward in that direction, okay? When in reality, God says, push forward. Don't look back. And this is what they did. But, verse 16, they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I have finished that, I will come unto you and receive you unto myself. That's what he says. That's his promise to us. His promises are where our faith is based, is in God's promises, not how great and wonderful we are or what we contribute. It has to do with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. So by faith, Abraham, verse 17, when he was tried and offered up Isaac, and again, this is kind of interesting, this whole thing. The life of Abraham is interesting if you study it. It was 25 years from the time that God had promised the son to Abraham and Sarah. It was 25 years. 25 years had passed, and there was no son. Actually, there 25 years had passed before Isaac was born. Okay, but during that time, they questioned God, just like you do, just like I do. We question, Lord, is this you? Is this you with this job change? Is this you with this situation? Is this you in my marriage? Is this you what's going on in my life? Is this you what's going on in the world? Answer is yes. He's preparing us for that ultimate challenge. Not challenge, but basically lesson in faith. And Abraham, when he was tried, he went through 25 years of having God confirm, guide, direct, order his footsteps. And that is where his trust and his faith began to build. And then when it came time for the ultimate sacrifice, which was Isaac, Abraham was prepared. You know why? Verse 17. The faith of Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Seed as in singular. Okay? Accounting to God that he was able to raise him up even from the dead, when also he received him in a figure. That's interesting, received him in a figure. Who was raised from the dead? Christ was. So Isaac was a type of Christ. It's a picture, word picture. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Okay, verse 20, the blessings were passed on to Jacob. And by faith, 21, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the servants of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the staff, on the top of his staff. That's an interesting comment there, because leaning on the top of his staff, when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, if you don't know that part of it, go back to Genesis, but it's very interesting. But Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and at the end, as the dawn broke, Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And the angel touched Jacob's side, and the sinew in his hip was basically dissolved, and Jacob worshipped on a cane all the rest of his life. And when he did this on the top of his staff, he was recognizing that God was still in control. God, he remembered back then. And that's kind of where pain and suffering kind of leads us more in, actually into the Lord's presence, or into our faith. It increases our faith, because when we look back, we remember those things that God has brought us through. We remember some of the horrible, I'm going to use that word horrible. We remember some of the challenges of life where we prayed, Lord, help me, walk me through this health issue, walk me through this financial issue, walk us through this marriage issue, walk us through all of these things. And then when we look back on those things, man, that was a tough time, but God came through. God built it. God, he's the one that walked us through. Verse 22 says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. And that Joseph, God promised that he was going to take Israel out of Egypt. And Joseph knew that. At the time when Joseph died, they were still in Egypt. But Joseph knew that God had a plan for Israel, and he took them out of Egypt. And we'll talk about that when it comes to the next few verses Passover. So Joseph understood that. So by faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention that you're going to depart Egypt. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. The word proper, by the way, is beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king at that time, because the Jews were just multiplying like crazy, if you would, he said, kill all the male babies. Well, when Moses was born, he was a beautiful baby. And they put him, his sisters put him in a bulrush. And they sent him down the river because they wanted to drown all the male babies. They sent him in a bulrush canoe. They sent him down river. And Pharaoh's daughter picked him up. Pharaoh's daughter thought he was beautiful, and she took him in as her own son. But we see what happens with Moses here. He chose rather to suffer suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto basically looked unto the reward. So verse 26, he, rather than live in Egypt, where he had all the pleasures as you could possibly think, had all the wealth, the health, notoriety, political position, all the things of the flesh, yet he chose to follow God. That's where the flesh and the spirit battle. The flesh wants all of these things. The spirit says, I want the things of God. And when we have the things of God, because this is all temporary, folks. This is all temporary. We're going to learn about that. They died without receiving the promises. They died without receiving the promises of the city, not built with hands, but built by God. So what did he do in verse 27? For he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, lest that he destroyed the firstborn and should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, Red Sea as by dry land, with the Egyptians as saying to do were drowned. In other words, they were trying to cross the Red Sea on dry land also, and that's an interesting story. You'll see a lot of commentators on that. It has some humorous side to it, really. By faith, Joshua, the walls of Jericho fell down, okay? And then, of course, Rahab, by faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed, not when she had received the spies with peace. In other words, the harlot Rahab, think about that for a second. Her faith, it was counted to her righteousness. Did you know that? She was a harlot. Okay, that was the meeting place of people that came into town. All right. So it wasn't by her works. It was by her faith that she was righteous. It was by her faith that she was saved. She understood what God had done in the days of Moses when they were crossing the Red Sea, because that went worldwide. They came out of Egypt. It was publicized on CNN and everything else. So what shall we say more? For the time would fail me to go of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and of Japheth, and of David, also Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence, fire escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women who received their dead raised to life again. Others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. We shifted from specific people to an overview of all the people that put their faith and trust in the Lord. And that should be where we're at. Verse 36 down to 39 is where we are today. It's kind of interesting. When things are going well, it's easy to say, praise God. Bless the Lord. Right? When things are not going well, what happens? Where's my faith? Where's my trust? Is it in my wealth? Is it in my health? Is it in the political system? Where's my faith? We are living in dark times. We are living in a world that's falling apart. We are living on the cusp of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ's return. We are right there according to the scriptures. Not according to me or anyone, according to the scriptures. So where does my faith lie? Does it lie in everyday life? Or do I look up and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done? And that's tough. That's tough to do. My wife is reading this book called The Book of Martyrs. By the way, the word martyr in Greek is witnesses, and that's what we just read, witnesses. The Book of the Martyrs, there were people that were, we'll get into that, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Paul, we talked about, Bill talked about that, they were in jail. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Okay? The promise waiting for the Messiah. Okay? These were the ones prior to the cross that he's talking about here. So, When we're going through trials, I believe with all my heart that trials strengthen our faith. 2 Peter talks about that. 1 Peter talks about that. Beloved, think it not odd when you go through fiery trials, because it's to try your faith. When I get into a trial, I can tell you straight up, my first reaction, my knee-jerk reaction is, what do I need to do to get out of this? What do I need to do to make it all go away? What do I need to do to be happy again? What do I need to do to be at peace again? What do I? Instead of saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, show me what you want me to learn from this. In Abraham, he showed Abraham what he wanted him to learn. He showed Rahab. He showed David. He showed all the ones that are in the hall of faith exactly what his promise was and what his will is for their lives. Suffering, martyrs, witnesses in Greek, suffering in Christ is harder than rejoicing in all my wealth, health, and everything else, because it's wood, hay, and stubble. My trust needs to be, and my faith needs to be in the Lord. How do I increase the faith? What do I do there? How can my faith be strong in these trials? How can I say, Lord, help me through this? Hebrews 11:6 flat out says, he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. We just read that. Isaiah, God's promise. He says, my word will not return void. When God speaks, man, we got to get a hold of that. When God speaks and says, I've got you, he's got you. When he speaks and said, it's not of you, your righteousness is not of you, it's of me, saith the Lord. He's done it. My faith and my trust is in him, not in how great and wonderful I am or what a great orator or none, whatever. It's not anything to do with the human side or the flesh side. It has to do with Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he's the one that stands on the throne, the King of Kings. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You'll notice that all throughout the Bible, God speaks. God talked to Abraham. He talked to, basically spoke to Isaac. He spoke to Jacob, on and on through the hall of faith. God speaking, the word of God. It says his word will not return to him void. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God speaks to you through his word. He speaks to you through others around you. He speaks to you through all creation. Okay? You cannot look at creation and see God's, not see God's handiwork. But you know what? He values you more than the creation. He values you more than the universe. He didn't die for the universe. He didn't die for creation. He died for you. He died for me. That's what, you are his special creation. You are his child. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God when he speaks. Romans 10:9 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess. If you believe in your heart, oh, it's up there, okay, that's good. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ raised from the dead, you will be saved. God spoke that. He spoke that. He didn't die for all creation. Nope. And what's interesting about this, do you know that everything in the universe does the will of God? With exception, one exception, you, me, we are flawed. We do not follow the will of God many times. But Christ did that for us. He died for us to put us in that will, in his will. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. So that, to me, is where my faith lies. That to me is the security. That to me is the faith that the sun's coming up. That to me is the faith that God's got this under control. That to me is God's faithfulness, not mine. Okay? He says, I've got you. He said, no, once you come into my hand, I will hold you. No man will pluck you out of my hand. You cannot jump out, and you cannot earn it. It's in Jesus Christ and him crucified only. So that's where the faithfulness comes in. That's how my faith grows, is in him. Today's message is about God's faithfulness. He's given us undisputable, undeniable proof beyond question that he is the king of all creation and loves you and I with an everlasting love. That's where my faith is. My faith is in his righteousness. My faith is in his finished work. The cloud of witnesses that we just read are basically patterns of the promises of God to a dying world that his word is true, and he, as it says in Revelation, he is true and faithful. The promises of God, he is true and will bring you into the city built by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In summary, if you're struggling with faith, faith is, again, it's a subjective word to a degree. So you can make a choice. You can trust in your health. You can trust in your wealth. You can trust in all the things of the earth. You can trust in political, whomever is going to be, you know, Jesus is not coming back on a 747, I'm going to tell you straight up. But he is coming back. So I can put my faith and my trust in him, because everything around me is disintegrating. The song says, build your house upon the rock. Jesus says, I am the rock. I am the stone that the builders rejected. Build your faith upon him. Trust in him. Say, Lord, my faith is weak. And if you're here today and you are struggling with faith, you are struggling with things going on, before we close, we're going to pray. I urge you to bring those to the Lord. Say, Lord, I am broken. I need you. I need you to increase my faith. Lord, I want to be strong in you, but I can only do that through the power and the might and the strength of your Holy Spirit. That being the case, if you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, I urge you to put all your hope and trust in him, because you know things are not going to get better. I'm not being negative. I'm not being, well, it's obvious. We need help. Lord, we need help. And we need help individually. We need help as a nation. We need help as a world. God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I, God, the creator of the universe, will hear from heaven and heal their nation. That's you. That's me. So as we close, we're going to have a few moments of prayer. Silence. Just you and the Lord. Lord, increase my faith. Open my eyes. Let me see your handiwork. Let me, Lord, just give me a glimpse behind the curtain. He said, David, I've already done that in my word. I've let you see my glory. All the way from the beginning, the entire Bible is based on that, those five words, the seed of the woman. And that was Jesus Christ and his finished work for you and I. Let's bow our hearts. Father, I stand in awe of your word. Lord, I humbly bow before your throne. We are your sheep, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you take this faith message, the faith in you, Lord, the faith in your finished work, the faith in your promises, Father, the faith that you have spoken, Lord, and you cannot return. Lord, your word will not return unto you void, Lord. Our righteousness is of you, Lord. So now at this point, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit just be poured out upon all your children, Lord, exceedingly pressed down, full measure, overflowing, Lord. Give us that peace that passes all understanding, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our transgressions, Lord, which are many, Lord, way over our head. But Lord, once you remove those and forgive us, Lord, that's wiped. The slate is wiped clean. So Lord, I just praise you and thank you, Lord. And I just ask somehow, some way, Lord, Your will be done. And all these things, Lord, help us grow in you and faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray, Father.